Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. At some point, during his time as a judge, Samuel, under divine guidance, established a training institute for the purpose of guiding and preparing individuals for the prophetic ministry. This so-called School of the Prophets emphasized spiritual disciplines like prayer, meditation, and study of the Torah. Students were taught to cultivate a personal relationship with God, deepen their understanding of the law, and to develop spiritual discernment and wisdom. The school offered practical training in various areas, including music, poetry, and public speaking. The purpose was to develop the students' communication skills, enabling them to effectively convey God's messages to the people. Ahab, the son of Omri, came to the throne in 874 BC. He centralized power and engaged in administrative and military reforms. He constructed a royal palace in Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, and expanded his influence over the region. His reign was marked by tensions with neighboring kingdoms, particularly Aram Damascus, which frequently waged wars against Israel during this period. Ahab formed alliances with other regional powers in order to counter the threat posed by the Aramites. One such alliance was with the kingdom of Sidon, which was consummated by Ahab's marriage to Jezebel, a Phoenician princess. She influenced him to introduce the worship of the Canaanite god Baal, which led to a conflict with the worship of Yahweh. Sometime before the rise of Ahab, a young man from the tribe of Gad, called Elijah, was born in the town of Tishbe, in Gilead. He was raised in a devout home, by parents who remained true to Elohim, despite the pagan influences all around them. From a young age, Elijah showed a keen interest in spiritual matters. And eventually, he left home to study at the School of the Prophets. When his studies were complete, he withdrew into the wilderness to devote himself to spiritual contemplation and communion with God. He sought divine guidance and purification during this time, preparing himself for his prophetic mission. After his spiritual retreat, Elijah returned to the School of the Prophets, where he became one of its leaders. Sometime later, the land of Israel began to suffer under the weight of a severe drought. The once fertile fields lay parched and cracked. Many of the people turned to Baal, who was supposed to have control over the weather. But their cries for rain went unanswered. It was a time of despair and desperation. In the midst of this desolation, Ahab was out riding one afternoon when a figure emerged from the shadows, a bearded man with a robust physique and a stern countenance. He wore a rough garment made of hair and a leather belt.
Who are you?
I am the Lord's messenger.
What do you want?
The Lord has aught against you. It is your wickedness that has caused Israel's predicament. You should know better, yet you lead the people astray into false worship.
What's your name? How dare you speak to me like that?
I am Elijah, the Tishbite, a prophet of Elohim. As the Lord the God of Israel lives, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, except by my word.
Captain of the guard, arrest this man! How dare he challenge my authority?
But Elijah, guided by the hand of God, vanished from the king's sight, leaving him with nothing but frustration and a burning desire for revenge. Ahab's displeasure was clearly visible when he returned home later that day.
Why do you appear so troubled?
I was visited today by an insolent, insufferable man. He is a prophet, Elijah the Tishbite.
Yes, I have heard of him. My spies tell me that he is the leader of the School of the Prophets. What did he want?
He claims that there will be no rain on this land until he says so. He says that the drought is my fault. It is judgment for me turning the people from the God of Abraham.
Nonsense. You have turned the people toward Baal, the God of the new harvest, the God who pierces the clouds with his thunderbolts, the God who opens the womb and blesses all, from the exalted to the lowly. Elijah is but one man. How is he a match for a god, and for all the priests and prophets that serve that god? Where is he now?
He escaped before we could take him into custody.
We must find him and we must finish him.
The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, directed Elijah to a solitary place by the brook Cherith, hidden away from the eyes of men. There, the prophet would find refuge and food amidst the barrenness of the land. As he arrived at the brook, he saw the once flowing waters reduced to a mere trickle, mirroring the arid state of the kingdom. Yet, in the midst of this despair, God provided for his faithful servant. Day after day, Elijah witnessed a miracle unfold before his eyes. Ravens, black as night, descended upon the earth, their wings beating rhythmically as they delivered food and drink to the prophet. Bread and meat, carried in their beaks, became his sustenance, a lifeline in a world devoid of nourishment. Elijah, in his solitude, communed with the God of Israel. He reflected on the wickedness that had consumed the land, the people turning away from their Creator and worshiping false idols. His heart burned with a righteous zeal, for he knew that only through repentance and a return to the Lord could the drought be broken. Days turned into weeks, weeks into months, and still, the brook continued to dwindle, drying up before Elijah's eyes. The time had come for a new chapter to unfold.
Elijah, it is time for you to leave this brook. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you.
With unwavering trust, Elijah journeyed to Zarephath, a city of Sidon, a land outside the borders of Israel. He knew that God's providence would guide his steps and provide for his needs. As he approached the city gate, he saw a weary widow gathering sticks, her face reflecting the hardship and poverty that had befallen her.
"Excuse me, dear woman. Please bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink."
"As you wish, my lord."
"And, while you're at it, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand."
"As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die."
"Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth."
With faith mingled with uncertainty, the widow obeyed the prophet's words. Miraculously, as she poured the flour and oil, they did not diminish, but continued to provide enough, not only to sustain herself and her son, but also the newcomer, Elijah. The Lord's provision was abundant, and his grace poured out even in the midst of scarcity. As the drought persisted throughout the region, Ahab and Jezebel continued to search for the Tishbite. And so they searched diligently throughout the land of Israel. They arrested and even tortured other prophets in their search for Elijah. Ahab even sent spies into Judah to look for him. Jezebel convinced her husband that if he could only find the prophet, they would appease Baal and the rain would return. They could not have imagined that he had taken refuge in the home country of the queen. To be continued.